Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule on this Monday, March 11th, 2024, to join me today on my podcast. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I want to go into depth about this radical new law imposed by the Parliament of Iran on the women of Iran, more consequences for breaking the hijab law. Ever since the death of Mahsa Amini in September of 2022, the Iran morality police have been taking measures to step up the increased oppression and harassment of Iranian women. And I want to go into detail, as I've written in my book, Uprising, about the hijab law, the steps that are being taken with surveillance cameras, text messaging women in their cars about wearing the hijab. The intended consequences is to make it more difficult to live as a woman in Iran and to not be able to have the freedom you can as a woman. Now, just recently, a young lady, Roya Hashmati, was lashed 79 times for appearing on camera without her hijab. And so they are doing everything they can, that is the government of Iran, to make life much more complex and difficult for Iranian women. Just recently, in fact, a few months ago in September of last year, a Christian organization known as Transform Iran had an interview with CBN News on the steps that have been taken since the death of Mahsa Amini and how the morality police are handling lawbreakers of the hijab law. And this is Lana Silk. Lana Silk is the CEO. She's kind of the executive officer of Transform Iran. It's a Christian ministry to the people of Iran. And back in September of last year, she had a short interview with CBN News about what's going on with the women in Iran since the death of Mahsa Amini. Let's listen to that interview right now on The Cross in the Desert.
Joining me now for more on what's happening in Iran is Lana Silk of Transform Iran, a faith-based group that advocates for human rights. Lana, thank you so much for coming on the show. Iran's parliament is introducing a new hijab and chastity bill. Tell us what's in the bill.
The bill is an incredibly strong stand against women, much stronger than has been before. They have increased all the consequences, prison terms, fines for the women, and women and celebrities and businesses and any people of influence that might get behind any kind of protest or anti-government stance, including how women dress, they will also be punished. So altogether, the government is saying, whether you do it or encourage other people to do it, the consequences for you are going to be grave.
Mm. As I mentioned in my report, more than 600 people have been killed since Mahsa was murdered last year, more than 22,000 people arrested. Lana, are we any closer to seeing this regime fall?
I think we are. The situation today is completely untenable. It can't continue like this. One way or another, something has to give. And the people are growing in their courage, in their blatant disregard for the rules. Even today, we hear of women walking the streets with no hijab. Right now, with this bill coming into play, with all the warnings that things will get even harder for them, they are still defiant. So I think the courage of the people will continue, and their unity and their strength in numbers will continue, and we will see a change.
Yeah, as I was talking to this Iranian expert, Mitra Jasni, she said, you know, they've been living with this for 40 years, and these new rules are not necessarily going to stop them from continuing to press the regime, right?
I think the new rules will encourage them because what they have been fighting against something that's perhaps tamer, and now even something stronger is coming in. So their stand is going to be, hang on a minute, we wanted choice, we wanted freedom, and you are choking us. So wow. I think that people will grow in their courage and the intensity of their protest.
Yeah. And yet, despite the severe crackdown, Lana, the church in Iran continues to flourish. What's fueling this unprecedented growth?
Well, the people of Iran are increasingly disgruntled with Islam and all that Islam apparently offers them, in Iran at least, and they are looking for an alternative. So the harder the government pushes, controls, limits, censors, the greater the people's hunger, the greater their curiosity, and they are looking for alternatives, and they're finding Jesus.
Yeah. How strong is their faith in the midst of all this crackdown, in the midst of all this persecution?
Stronger than ever before. The problem that we don't have in Iran is any kind of lukewarm religion. If you come to turn to Christ, you know full well what the consequences are. It's illegal, and it's written down in plain text in the law. The ultimate consequence is execution. So no one dapples for fun. If they're going to go for Jesus, they go wholeheartedly, and they do go wholeheartedly.
And they have joined their fellow Muslim brethren on the streets of Iran protesting as well, right?
Yes, joining in protest, but also what I love to see is Christian love in action. So certainly for us as an organization, when we saw the number of injuries and the vast number being turned away from hospitals, doctors saying, oh, I see that's a gunshot wound, I don't want anything to do with it. Those people needed practical care. So we sent doctors and nurses to the streets to catch the wounded and care for them. There's a lot that can be done that shows the love of Jesus in hands and feet as well as words.
Yeah. Last question. What about the diaspora? How is the church growing among those who have left Iran?
I feel like there's a grace of God right now on the Persian-speaking people all over the world. There is an openness. I speak to pastors across Europe and the West that say to me right where they live, in their towns and cities, there is an unprecedented hunger amongst the Iranian people. So clearly there's a whole people group here that are turning to Jesus, and that's happening in the diaspora as well as in the country. And the great thing is when they're in the diaspora, they're freer. So then they're able to engage in all sorts of media-based evangelism and advocacy for their people too.
Yeah. How can we pray for the church in Iran?
I think the church needs to be informed, first and foremost. There's a lot that we hear in the press, in secular press, that is just a bleak picture of what's happening. And that's not the reality of what's happening in Iran. The people of Iran are looking for Jesus, and they're finding him. So we must have hope, we must have faith, and we must partner with what the Holy Spirit is already doing in prayer and understand this is spiritual warfare more than any human warfare, and back the people of Iran. So find an organization that knows what's happening, sign up to a newsletter, get informed, and pray.
Yeah, fantastic. Lana Silk, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast. Lana is with Transform Iran.
What a good interview there with CBN News from last September in the fall of 2023, interviewing Lana Silk from Transform Iran. Some of the things she did not mention that I've written in my book, Uprising, in this bill, it's camera surveillance that is all over Tehran. And this is how Roya was seen not wearing a hijab, and she was eventually lashed more than 70 times, just brutally. The camera surveillance, like it is in China, it's everywhere now, so they can catch these women in action and sometimes avoid a confrontation in person, but just, you know, send them text messages and emails that they have to appear in court after being caught without their hijab. So it has been belligerently evil since the death of Mahsa Amini. The morality police is stepping up. But what I loved about this interview, Lana talked about how the underground church is growing stronger amidst the persecution. They're actually getting out on the streets and supporting their brothers and sisters in this uprising against the government. And many Iranian women, in the midst of all of this oppression, are finding beyond the veil, that is, beyond the hijab, they're experiencing the unconditional love of God and Jesus Christ. Many of them are finding hope. They're looking for hope. They're looking for something that this government doesn't provide for them, and they're finding their hope in Christ. And what I want to do this morning is I want to quote from my book, Beyond the Veil, that I wrote over 14 years ago. And this is the story of a young person living in Bangladesh. Her name is Nadia, and she discovers the love of Christ. In her prayer time as a Muslim, Jesus is appearing to her in dreams and vision. And through these long circumstances, she's finally kidnapped by a human trafficking ring and left for dead. But a Christian group finds her laying on the ground and takes her in. And Nadia becomes a Christian through all of these circumstances. And yet, even as a Christian, her first real few days as a Christian, she still is clinging on to some of the traditions of Islam. And one of those traditions is still wearing the veil, that is the hijab. And I want to read you a scene in the book where she has this amazing experience after discovering the love of God and how she now responds to that piece of cloth that was mandatory for her to wear. She's in this Christian courtyard. And she is walking out with her journal. She's writing her thoughts. And I want to read to you from my book now, Beyond the Veil. Nadia walked out the front door of the dormitory building and walked up the path to the old wooden bench a few feet behind the cross. Nadia gazed at the cross. There's this wooden cross in this courtyard she's looking at. Despite being taught all of her life by the Quran that Jesus was not crucified, Nadia was drawn to the pieces of wood that were before her very eyes. As she continued gazing at the cross, the stillness and the silence spoke profoundly to her heart. Inside, her whole being despaired with a sense of shame and unworthiness. Bowing her head, Nadia began wrestling with an intense feeling of guilt that tore at her soul. When she could no longer bear the feelings of unworthiness and shame, Nadia slowly lifted her head back up and once again stared and gazed intently at the wooden cross. This time, however, her whole being radiated with a soothing and refreshing feeling of unconditional love and forgiveness. It was as if someone had slowly poured down fresh anointing oil over the top of her head. She felt cleansed of every wrong that she had ever committed. Nadia sat completely still with her eyes closed, basking in the mercy and grace of God, realizing that once and for all, Jesus had removed all of her shame and disgrace. At that moment, Nadia reached up behind her head and removed her hijab. Her thick, curly brown hair fell down across her forehead and over her eyes. The hijab lay wrinkled in a pile next to her on the bench. Years of tradition and religion suddenly melted away. For the first time in her life, Nadia felt completely fulfilled and utterly free. Sitting all alone on the bench facing the wooden cross in front of her, God suddenly became more real and personal to her than ever before. Nadia remembered in her dream when Jesus reached down and gently touched her face. With tears of joy streaming down her face and her hijab laying next to her on the bench for the very first time, Nadia could see the face of God beyond her veil. For far too long, the veil had masked and distorted the true face of God. Today, however, the veil was no longer blinding Nadia. As God's princess, she would no longer need it. Nadia then closed her eyes. She had never uttered a prayer before spontaneously from her heart. It had always been a memorized recitation from the Quran. But this time, Nadia felt a rush of gratitude and affection bubbling up from the inside. She wanted to express her innermost thoughts and feelings to God. Feeling an overwhelming sense of intimacy, Nadia proceeded to utter her first real personal prayer to God. "God," Nadia began. True joy began to rise up from the inside. It felt almost like talking to her closest friend. "Please hear my prayer," Nadia stuttered a bit. She felt a little awkward. She was used to being so formalistic. She remembered when she was a Muslim, approaching Allah in prayer was very uncomfortable for her. Allah always seemed so distant and far away. Now, Nadia had a different perspective. Praying was now a new and exciting adventure. She had a real sense of intimacy and delight in approaching God. It was almost as if God desired and delighted in hearing the thoughts and intentions of Nadia's heart. "I don't know what to say, God, except thank you. Thank you," Nadia's voice intensified. "Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sin and shame. God, Jesus, I love you," Nadia cried out in gratitude. Her voice cracked with emotion. The revelation of God's love was still such a new reality of Nadia. It was still a struggle to really believe that God really loved her. Nadia finished her prayer. Her heart was filled with joy and overflowing with gratitude. She never before had experienced such feelings in prayer. She picked up her Bible and began reading Psalm 27. Looking over at her hijab lying on the bench next to her, suddenly her mind was captivated by this whole new experience. She picked up her journal and began to write a new poem reflecting on the events of the day. The words came powerfully to her, like they used to back home whenever she was at her secret prayer grove. Nadia began writing. "There's only one thing that I desire, and one thing I seek after, to gaze upon your beauty, O Lord, to see you face to face. I want to behold your glorious face. I want to see you face to face. You opened up the way when your hands and feet were nailed. Now I can see your face beyond the veil. I want to touch your face with these hands that are frail. I long to see your face beyond the veil. I want to see your glorious face and be transformed by your infinite grace." Nadia laid down her pen and stared at the words that she had just written. The words echoed the whole desire of her heart. She yearned for a real intimacy with God. Intimacy with God had once been a foreign concept. Now it was a reality. Nadia closed her journal. Her first day as a Christian had been a rich and rewarding experience. Nadia rose up from the bench and headed back to the sleeping dormitory to meet Leah. She couldn't wait to share her new poem with her. "This poem is actually a song I wrote, Beyond the Veil, and I'm tying it in with what's going on in Iran. This is a new experience for Nadia. She used to be a Muslim. Everything was ritualistic and works-oriented. Now it's all grace, and it's all cleansing from sin and guilt. And this poem, I want to see your face beyond the veil. I'm thinking of the women of Iran who have been kept under the bondage and oppression of wearing this piece of cloth, which is oppression to them. They just want the freedom to choose. It's more than just a piece of cloth. It is not having the freedom to live and believe the way you choose to." And so Nadia, in my book, has this reality, this rich experience when she gazes at the wooden cross where Jesus bled and died for the forgiveness of our sins. And she now has freedom beyond the veil, because God has made everything new for her. All things are new now. All the old has been passed away. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Oh, behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That is the promise of God, to make everything new. And I'm thinking of the people of Iran who one day God will wipe every tear from their eyes, as it says in Revelation 21:3. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. What a promise this is for the people of Iran. What a promise this is for anyone who comes to Christ and finds that freedom to see the truth and reality of who God is beyond their veil. And so I want you to hear this song right now from Big Daddy Weave. It's about this great concept, this truth that I've been talking about. And I want you to think of the women of Iran who are for the first time experiencing the unconditional love of God beyond the veil. They're seeing themselves as a real human being loved and adored by God who wants them to have freedom beyond the veil. Let's listen to this song now by Big Daddy Weave.
And make all things
Beautiful song, beautiful worship music from Big Daddy Weave. It's the promise of God who declares that the words that he is speaking in this promise to make all things new, they are words that are trustworthy and true. This is what God does to our spirit and our hearts. He cleanses us of our guilt and shame. He gives us a new start, a new beginning. It's what it's called being born again. It's that regeneration, that cleansing that God does. And he yearns to do that with you. If you're a Muslim and this is the beginning of Ramadan and you have to spend 30 days of fasting and praying, and maybe you are searching, maybe you are caught up in the ritual, you feel more oppression and no freedom, and maybe your heart is hungering and thirsting, wanting to feast on what is true, but you're bound by religion, you're bound by ritual. Well, as the theme of this program today is Beyond the Veil, experiencing the unconditional love of God, the invitation is there for you. The women of Iran simply want the freedom to choose, and they're being told that here's the way you have to live if you live here. And many of them have to break away from their homeland and say goodbye to their friends and family to get away. But that's not what they really want to do. They just want the freedom to be able to believe, to live the way they choose to live without the oppression. And God says, I am here. I am the bread of life. Feast upon me, and you will indeed find freedom and unconditional love beyond that veil, beyond that piece of cloth that is oppressing your beauty. You were created to exemplify your beauty and never to hide it like that. So the good news is there, and it's available for you this morning. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary, and you carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. And indeed, they are finding Jesus through great ministries like Alam Ministries and Transform Iran with Lana Silk. Iranians are finding the truth. They are discovering Jesus. They are discovering not a religion. They're tired of that. They are discovering a life-changing relationship, because that's what Christianity is. And I've said this 100 times, and I'll say it again. Christianity is not a religion. It's a life-transforming relationship with God through Christ. So I want to say thank you so much for joining me this morning. And as we head into Ramadan, join me praying for the Muslims all over the world that are covered by the veil and religious traditions, and many of them inside are broken and looking for something better. And that something better, of course, is Jesus, who is the bread of life. So join me as I pray for Muslims to encounter Christ during Ramadan in dreams and visions and find the truth that's only found in him. I want to thank you again for joining me this morning. I'll see you again on Thursday, 9:30 Central Standard Time in the morning. God bless you. Have a great week.